This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, it's a good afternoon. It's actually a very comfortable day, and we're here in the studio, the Sports Ticket. And this segment being brought to you by Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem. Believe it or not, I'm seeing flowers starting to bloom on trees, and that means spring break is right around the corner. And if you need a Sprinter van to go somewhere to take the kids, maybe you're going to Disneyland, maybe you're going to go to Moab, or maybe you're just going to have a staycation, or maybe you're going over the mountains. Whatever you do, you
miss the biggest thing going on right now: spring training.
Maybe you're going to Zona.
There you go.
That was fun. I did that last year. That's a blast. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great teams down there, and it's close up and personal.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun. But you know what? The tickets are actually getting pretty expensive. It used to be so dang cheap. And now it's just like, geez, man, it's like might as well just go to the regular stadium for granted.
That must be the problem. We're spreading the news that, you know, it is a fun and enjoyable experience. We need to go being like, spring training. Oh, what a waste of time. Don't go. Let me go.
That's right.
I'll go for you.
Yeah, shoot. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been on the show. Appreciate Mike Gallagher spelling me. And I think he's going to do it again next week because I have a procedure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he might not. It all depends on how scheduling works out. You know, we are finishing up high school basketball tonight after we sign off. We turn it over to Charlie for one final game. But then once the playoff brackets are determined, that will be how we are able to determine if we're able to carry a game next Friday.
Oh, that'd be great.
And there is a possibility that it might be Warren Franklin needed to spell you next Friday so that Mike Gallagher can be out broadcasting a high school game. That is a possibility, you know, in this ever-moving world.
You know, there's so many variables anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not just sports. It's all over the board.
It's all over
the board. So you better hang on because never know what's going to happen next week.
I think the phrase is buckle up, buttercup. You know,
that's exactly right. Well, hey, speaking of that, you know, the Ducks and the Beavers, Beavers are going to be losing their men's basketball coach next year. Wayne Tinkle, he's not going to be returning, and that's pretty much all that we have heard. So if you're not returning, it means you're fired. It's a nice way of firing somebody.
It's a mutual separation.
You know, and I think that's Wayne is a good coach.
Yeah.
He's done a very good job, all things considered, with everything that's happened. What, he's been there 11 years? Mm-hmm. I think that 10 years has been good. I mean, Trace, his son, came in for, 3 years and did really, really good. Knocked down threes all over the place. And he was in until, you know, the whole Pac-12 debacle.
Yeah.
And that's when everything went sideways, and it's tough for him to get players. I mean, this year he has good players, yep, but there's not very many of them that are from the United States, I'll tell you that.
And that's kind of the story. I mean, they're playing in the Western Athletic Conference this year, so I would
West
assume...
West Coast Conference.
Or West Coast Conference, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, they've got 2 or 3 regular season games left, and then a tournament in the conference tournament, and that will probably wrap up his tenure, unless they win and are able to move on, which I don't see happening, especially when you got Gonzaga and a few other powerhouses.
St. Mary's, I think San Francisco's, you know, up in the helm there. Portland, you never know. That's a sneaker mm-hmm. club. They actually beat Gonzaga at home, and Gonzaga's only had 2 losses on the year. That's an exciting
a big upset.
Game.
Yeah.
Huge.
So, yeah, I did doing a little peeking around. I think currently, if the season was over today, St. Mary's is looking at being an 8th seed in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I'm not holding out hope that the Beavs are going to advance beyond the West Coast Conference tournament, but I'll go back and say that, you know, a firing means he's kind of done at this very moment. So this is a mutual decision that he won't be returning.
And you know what? I think that's good actually for Wayne Tinkle too, because mm-hmm. I think he has the opportunity to go to a better university that actually maybe he gets into a Big 12 or a Big 10, or it's not going to be an ACC or an SEC. I don't think, but you never know. Yeah. I mean, he's really, he's established himself as a really good coach.
And as we know, in the ever-changing merry-go-round of college basketball coaching, anything's really a possibility if he finds the right fit. So
exactly. I mean, he could go back to a Montana State or something of that nature if he wanted to. A little more lesser key or lower key or whatever you want to call that.
But, you know, the excitement of taking a small school to the NCAA tournament, I think, different than college football. You know, going from a Pac-12 school down to a lower tier school at the football level means less opportunity, you know, for that national stage. But in basketball, going to a lesser school could mean even a better opportunity to hit that national stage.
And that's a great point, Hunter, because he could go there if he does take a smaller school to the NCAA tournament, winning their league, winning the conference tournament. That's a big deal.
That is. That is a huge deal.
Especially if you could win a game in the tournament and upset somebody, be another Cinderella story.
Which is the best part of college basketball tournaments is those teams coming out of nowhere, maybe that you never heard of in your life, that upset a couple of big time programs.
Well, let's head a little further south and talk about the Oregon Ducks men's basketball program. Dana Altman is going to be coming back for another season, although he's had a abysmal year down there for the Ducks. I think that they are 4-11 in conference play in the Big Ten, and I think they've only won like 8-9 games overall.
Yeah, they are currently sitting at 11-17 on the season.
There you go. So realistically, they're 4-11 in Big Ten play, sitting in what?
I'll give you the bad news. 4-13 in conference.
4-13. I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
They are sitting third from the bottom currently in the Big Ten standings.
And, you know, it could have been a lot worse, Hunter, because they've won three of their last four games.
So. Well, they're in must-win mode right now because of the amount of teams within the Big Ten. I believe it's the bottom four teams don't even play in the Big Ten tournament. So as it stands right now, win-loss record, they're tied with Rutgers, Northwestern, and Maryland at 4-13, which means with three games remaining on their schedule, Northwestern tomorrow, at Illinois on Tuesday, and then Washington coming to town next Saturday. I don't think they're going to upset Illinois, who's sitting at the 10 overall in the nation right now. But those other two games are winnable. And if you can win those two games and go 2-1 in your final three games, and then you need some help because Rutgers needs to lose at least two of their final three games to put you into that final spot for the Big Ten tournament.
Well, also, if you can beat Northwestern tomorrow and then Northwestern loses one more game, you know, if they go 1-2, then I think the Ducks have an opportunity to be the lowest seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, it'll take more wins than Rutgers and winning at Northwestern tomorrow.
Right.
Those are the two things that have to happen is Rutgers has got to lose two of their final three.
And Rutgers does play Penn State their final game. So I think that that's going to be a win because Penn State is awful.
Yeah. And Rutgers plays Maryland tomorrow.
And that'll be a pretty entertaining game. And that's going to go either way.
And then I believe their other game is against one of those upper class teams in the Big Ten. So
they realistically, they could go 1-2.
They realistically could. And that's what we need because right now there's four teams vying for that final spot. And, you know, they each play one another kind of a thing, you know, Oregon, Northwestern, Rutgers, and Maryland. But then it's really going to come down to how those other two games pan out on who gets that final bid. Because unfortunately, Minnesota and Washington at 6-11 in conference play aren't likely to bow fully out.
No, I don't think so, but you never know. I mean, shoot, if the Ducks could win two, that puts them at six wins. And one of those would include beating Washington next Saturday.
Which if Washington were to lose out, becomes a possibility.
So, yeah, there's still a lot of scenarios.
There's still a lot of scenarios, but that's what...
It's highly unlikely.
But that's why they call it March Madness,
that's
Jeff.
That's right.
Because all these scenarios all come to a head.
And, you know, March is starting on Sunday. So, you know, it's... I'm actually, you know, to be honest with you, I'm so happy that January and February are over and things are starting to bloom. I think that everybody just gets in a better mood Especially, and the sun's coming out. It's been great weather, actually, this winter.
And so that's going to be the question. With the weather we have had and this sunshine the last few days, I am seeing a lot of predictions that normally tulip season here in Oregon, which we have a very large tulip farm not too far from here, tends to be about the second week of April, and they've already moved up their projected likely dates up to April 1st.
It makes sense because it's been so warm.
Mm-hmm. I just worry if we get one of these real cold snaps and some brutal weather, you know, in the next week or two, it might kill off a whole lot of things that we want blooming.
Well, I'm not a meteorologist or anything, but typically that happens.
That's, yeah,
I mean, so, seriously, it does.
Yeah.
It's, with it being unseasonably warm, but the way that they're showing it now, it doesn't look to be the case.
Yeah. Unseasonably warm, but there could always be a little payback.
I need to have a green screen behind me just so I can kind of fake it.
Yeah,
you know?
Fake it.
Not that anybody could see me.
Podcast
right
it with you, a green screen behind you.
Right.
So you can
fake it till you make it. That's what I always say. All right, we got to get out to a break, Hunter. It's the Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And here we are at the Sports Ticket in the KYKN studios. Such a gorgeous day. It's getting a little chilly right now, but you know what? That means it's the perfect time for a three-topping Domino's pizza for only $7.99 at select locations. You're just going to have to find out for yourself.
Well, or you can get online and you can place your order online and, you know, boom, save your 20%.
Well, that's true, but that's too easy.
That's too easy.
Domino's just makes it way too easy.
We're such
easy.
A convenience society now.
I don't know. Your phone does everything for you.
That's right. Well, it's I often wonder if it's smarter than me. Come on.
I'm wondering the next time it's going to just start talking to me in my own voice.
Oh,
because it hears me
creepy.
Every day.
Well, it's the... When you're talking about something and all of a sudden you see a pop-up ad for it, that's when I really kind of go,
yes.
I need to just throw that phone out the window.
It's not gonna do anything if you turn it off because it still knows.
It still knows.
It's still there. It can still see you.
It's still thinking about you.
Yeah, don't think they're not watching. They watch, they know all. And for does it really even matter? We're really not that important.
No.
For them to even want to surveillance us.
Yes, and of course, coming up after we are done tonight, we have high school basketball. So while we're at it, we should probably mention that high school basketball season really wraps up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few schools have a game next Tuesday, and by next Friday, the playoffs have begun. Currently, right now, in the Valley area, at the 6A level, for the girls, we have South Salem sitting at number 6 and West Salem sitting at number 10. Charlie covered these teams earlier this season. Both are very impressive and I think have a decent shot at making their way through the playoffs. If it's convenient and it works out for us next Friday, it's probably one of these two teams we'll be covering.
I think that would be great. I mean, it's awesome to see these girls play really, really well. And it's unfortunate, though, that the guys just, they haven't got it together so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, at the 6A level, the only team currently ranked in the OSAA top standing is number 13, West Salem, which, if you look at the way these brackets would work out, means a very tough matchup for the Titan boys coming into the playoffs.
And probably a road game as well.
Oh, yeah, road game against a tough opponent.
So yeah, that doesn't bode well for the guys. They'll be one and done. And is there any other teams that might be close to getting in?
You know, unfortunately, the others have had their ups and downs throughout the season. The McNary boys, the South boys, you know, they've won a few big games, but unfortunately, they've lost a few that kind of are going to put them on the outside looking in. And I just don't see one of these teams really sneaking in at the last minute. 5A level, we've got South Albany girls are at number 3, the West Albany girls number 5, and our own Silverton Foxes are number 7. So all of them are probably looking like playoff teams. I think the Foxes girls need a win tonight and Tuesday to cement their spot in there. On the boys' side at 5A, West Albany sitting at number 2, and Central is number 10. So, And then going down to 4A, the Staten girls and the Cascade girls, number 2 and number 7 respectively, which were always fun matchups, especially when they play each other. There's so much rivalry right there. Boys side, there isn't anybody at 4A on the boys side. At 3A, Jefferson is sitting at 13 in the girls, and Salem Academy is number 8 for the boys. And then all the way down at 2A, Regis is number 1 for the girls and number 3 for the boys. And Western Christian is number 3, and Cross Hill Christian of Turner is number 4 on the girls bracket. So a lot of fun there. And of course, we also have boys wrestling starting. I'm hearing some rumblings from people I know about their kids heading off to the state tournaments and things like that. Ranking wise, 6A, the boys of West Salem, or no, the boys of North Salem are sitting at number 9. And on the 6A, 5A girls side, Dallas is number 2, North Salem's number 4, and McNary is number 6. So a lot of fun out there in high school sports. Again, a little more March Madness to add to the plate.
There's a lot going on right now. Spring is always fun.
Yeah, spring is great. Spring is fun. Let's go ahead and take a break. We got Mike Alliger had a chance to sit down with the current voice of the Portland Trail Blazers. We don't talk a ton of basketball on this show, but he got a chance to interview him. His name is Travis Demers. He's been with them for a few years now. He is a great guy. It's a great interview. And found out a little history that he actually worked with Dave Bourne when Dave Bourne first got started in radio up at KUIK up in Portland many, many moons ago.
That's a long time ago. And I think he actually worked with Bill Shonley as well in that broadcast arena.
That's right. So enjoy this interview with Mike Alliger and Travis Demers, and then we will be right back on 1430 KYKN. You're listening to The Sports Ticket.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
We return to the Sports Ticket this Friday afternoon. Mike Alliger with you with a special edition, and we don't get a chance to talk about the NBA much, although we do, but certainly not the Blazers as much. And we want to do that right now, and this segment is being brought to you by Color Tile in Salem. Color Tile, Dave and the boys will take good care of you down on Lancaster Drive. With me is a young man I've known for a while, but I haven't talked to him for many years. We kind of know each other. We worked together a couple times for the OSAA. I saw him when he was coming up, heard him when he was coming up, and now I believe it's, well, he'll correct me in a moment here, 6th or 7th season as the radio voice of the Portland Trail Blazers. And this is Travis Demers. Travis, hey, thanks for coming on the show, and really it was good to reconnect with you again and just to bring you back in and let them hear who the voice of the Blazers is.
It's great to talk to you. I really appreciate you thinking of me. And yeah, you're right. 7th full season. I filled in four wheels for a good chunk of the 2018-19 season and then took over full-time 2019-2020. And yeah, time goes fast. But I remember, you know, calling games with you down in Salem Kaiser, some OSAA baseball games. It was great to catch up with you last week.
Yeah, it really was. You know, when I think about what you're doing, before we get to the Blazers and the NBA, what's they're really more improved, I think, than the record shows. But I think about how I got started, and I remember when I came to this station many years ago, we were a Blazers station. Bill Shonley was usually available if you went through John Lashway or whoever you had to go through to get what you needed. And Shons would always do promos. He'd talk to you. We didn't do a show like this, so we really didn't interview Shons. But if you go up to the radio, you could sit next to Dave, and Dave would reach over, Dave Bell, reach over and poke Shons and, hey, I remember you, and I know your friend in Coos Bay and whatever. He retires unceremoniously, I have to say, until later became the face of the franchise, literally, and probably still is it in some respect. And then Wheels comes in, and this guy out of Sacramento, he just takes over and does such a wonderful job for almost 20 years. Unfortunately, has some terrible health situations, left us, and then here you are. You're kind of your dream job. Would that be fair to say?
That would be fair to say, but it really wouldn't be giving it enough credit. You know, I mean... To be able to be the radio play-by-play announcer for the Portland Trailblazers, for a professional sports team, for an NBA team, I mean, this is something I've literally wanted to do since I was 12 years old. And, you know, to be honest, I grew up on the East Coast. I did not grow up a Trailblazers fan, but I've been in Portland for over 20 years now. So, you know, Portland is my home. The Northwest, Oregon is my home. So when I was growing up, it wasn't necessarily the Blazers that I wanted to work for, but there is not a team I would much rather work for right now, and I want to do this till I retire, and that's Portland Trailblazers.
Talk about your transition. I heard you worked with the Shawns. You knew the Shawns. He kind of mentored you. I'm sure that Wheels did as well, Brian Wheeler. Talk a little bit about knowing those guys and how they helped you.
So, I mean, when I moved here, I knew who Bill Shawnley was. I was familiar with his legend. Wheels was the broadcaster for the Blazers. It was the August 2003 is when I moved to Portland. Mm. So Wheels had had the job for about 4 years at that point. And, he was terrific. I got to know him, maybe around 2014 or so, ever a little earlier than that. So I knew him for a long, long time. He was somebody who, when I filled in for him, he would listen to the games and he would call me at, 11 o'clock on my way home and talk things through with me. And I had done play-by-play at that point for, 15 years or so, just not at that level, of course. But he would take the time. He would listen every single night, every game. He was invested. He cared. He absolutely was a mentor to me. With Bill Shawnley, he's an intimidating person because he's Bill Shawnley, even though by the time I got to know him, he was this little old man. And you look at him, he's this sweet little old man. But man, he was hilarious because he had no problem telling you what he thought, good or bad. And at that point, I don't imagine why anybody would care what anybody else thinks. If you lived that long and have done all the things that you do, and he didn't. He told you like it was, and he was always great to me. I had an opportunity to interview him a couple of times in the early 2010s or so, and that's when I started to get to know him. But my very first game that I was filling in for the Blazers, it was a preseason game against Maccabi Haifa, and I had about a day notice. And I'm hyperventilating, right? I'd never called an NBA game before. I'd done some Division I college stuff, but it's maybe 15 minutes before tip off, and I go down to the media room just to grab something to drink and calm my nerves. And I feel this hand on my shoulder, and it's Bill Shawnley. And I turn around, and there he is, and he gives me this look and this smile, and he says, "You're gonna do great." And that just kind of settled me down a little bit. And it was his soothing voice that so many people have heard for so many years that just calmed me down.
You talk to guys like his good friend and our friend Kerry Yeagers, who's still writing in sports. Of course, he and Kerry go back a ways, and he helped write his book. My friends who worked in Coos Bay and other places that knew and played golf with Bill Shawnley just say Shawn's was just what he was, and he was always very kind and affable to me. He actually did critique one of my college games way back when on the cassette tape, and he was happy to do it. It took him a while, but Dave kept bugging him. And in short, it turned out really well because he gave me some things that, scoring time all the time, scoring time all the time. You didn't get to it. You got lost into the action and you forgot to look at the clock or whatever. Always let them know who has the ball in some way because you never know who just tuned in 15 seconds ago and those types of things. Yep. And I'm sure you got that kind of help as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those were things that, as I was a young broadcaster, 25 years ago that I was learning as well. But you're right, Bill Shawnley was the guy who really emphasized that stuff. Scoring time, scoring time, scoring time. Mm-hmm. He told me to be myself, not to try and be him, not to try and be Wheels, which was great advice because I'm not either one of those guys. and really, you have to have your own style. You can't try and force things that you're not. And, he was always there. He would always come up to me and talk to me. He really was the best, and I miss him.
Yep. And no one would ever, as broadcasters, some young ones, they want to steal lines that like Shawn's used, like he would, Rip City, of course. Now that is the trademark of the team. But I remember when he used to do it, I heard him when I was in the military in the 70s, the late 70s, mm-hmm. broadcasting on Armed Forces Radio. You don't say Rip City or Bingo Bango Bongo, and you don't say Boom Chakalaka because that's his Wheels line. And you don't have to have a line. You don't have to have the Rick Riz, Goodbye Baseball or whatever, but I remember just listening to him, and he stopped, but he was still very good behind the microphone. So you come into the Blazers seven seasons ago. You start in there. You're having to not be Wheels or anyone else. You're yourself. Takes you about half a season to a season to kind of adjust, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, the year that I filled in for Wheels, the 2018-2019 season, between the preseason, regular season, and postseason, I ended up calling 57 games that year as a fill-in. I got to call the second-round playoffs against Denver. I got to call the Western Conference Finals. And as I'm here feeling like I'm living somebody else's life, because I kind of was, I mean, I'm also living my dream job, you know, and you get a taste of it and you don't want to do anything else ever again. And as this is happening, I'm thinking, okay, I got to get all my tape ready and see, you know, what other opportunities there are going to be with other teams and things like that. And at that point I had a 1 year old and, you know, I was willing to go wherever to keep doing this. And unfortunately Wheels was not able to continue after that season. And they did a national search, and that started around July, wrapped up around mid-September, and I got the job full time of, you know, about a month before the preseason started to have that job as my job. It to feel like it was my job, it took a lot longer than a half year. I don't know if you've ever felt that imposter syndrome.
Yes.
But it took me 5-6 years to really get over that. And there's still some of that there. And like, I know I'm good at what I do. I know I love what I do, but I look around and I see some of the people that do what I do or that have sat in my chair before me. And it's like, am I really in the right place? But in terms of getting comfortable with calling the action and calling the play by play, by the time I got the job full time, I had already done, you know, some big games, so I was pretty comfortable with it when I had the job full time.
Talking with the voice of the Trailblazers, Travis Demers. The Blazers have not been, when you would say, a powerhouse team, except perhaps when Dame's in the action, and Damian will not be playing this year, Damian Lillard. But currently, Blazers in ninth place in the Western Conference. That's one behind the last playoff spot. You see what's coming ahead. You see the health of the team. You see how they're playing. What is their possibility to be that eighth or even that seventh team out of the West?
Well, I think there is a good chance of that. I think seven is probably not going to happen. I mean, they're 5-6 games back of Phoenix with 23 games to play. And since the NBA put in the play-in a few years ago where the top six teams automatically qualify for the playoffs and then, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 play a little play-in tournament to get those final two spots, being in the ninth seed right now, you've still got a great chance because right now, today, if the season ended, they would be in the play-in, and they would have to win two games to get in to be the eighth seed, but they would have a chance to do that. And the way that they have played this year, to me, has been really impressive considering the fact that they've had the second most games lost to injury in the entire league. They've had an average of five, not just five players, but five rotation players out due to injury for every game this season. That's the average. And with that, they've had the second most difficult schedule in the entire NBA. And for a team that was probably expected by most to be about a 500 team, to still be about a 500 team, I think it speaks volumes to the coaching staff. I think it speaks volumes to the players, the player development staff, for the young guys to be able to have the impact that they have had. And to have an opportunity now with the easiest schedule left in the league, even though 10 of the next 13 are on the road, there really is an opportunity to jump up to eight. And what that would mean is that they would have, you know, a play-in game, a win-and-get-in game probably on the road at Phoenix. And if they won that, they'd be the seventh seed. If they lost it, then they would get a home game, and it's a win-and-get-in against either the Clippers, the Warriors. So, I mean, sure, anything could happen.
Yeah.
But they've really done a tremendous job through this organization of putting themselves in a position to have success. And considering where they've been the last few years as a rebuilding team that was interested in draft picks and things like that, it's really been impressive and encouraging.
Real quick, I need 30 seconds or less on all of these guys. I'm going to throw a bunch of players at you here.
You got it.
Certainly, Scoot Henderson was a starter, came off an injury, coming off the bench. Seems like it fits.
Yeah, for him, being coming off the bench right now is the perfect spot for him. He's played seven games, and I think he's looked exactly like they've wanted him to. There was a lot less rust than they thought. And at 22 years old, I think he is exactly where he should be in his development, and I'm real excited about him.
Donovan Clingan, one of my favorite Blazers currently.
He's a beast. I mean, he's an old-school rim-protecting, rebounding center who can also shoot the three, and he is that physical, hard-nosed guy who has no problem mixing it up. He has been so important for this team.
7 feet, 2 inches tall, third year in the league, I believe, second or third year in the league. Let's talk about our all-star.
Denny Avdija, a guy who they got in a trade at the draft a couple of years ago that was a top 10 pick that hadn't quite lived up to it in Washington. And when he came here, he has blossomed. And I think what's been so impressive about him is his leadership at a young age. And when this team was so decimated by injuries, he played multiple positions at once. He had never played point guard, yet he was averaging 7-8 assists and having triple doubles to go along with 26 points a game and 7 rebounds a game. He carried this team when they were decimated by injuries, and he really is the heart and soul of this team. He is an incredible young man, and I really enjoy watching him.
And lastly, that kid named Lillard, Damian Lillard, not playing this year, but he may be next year for sure. He's on the roster. He's a fixture in his community. Not since Clyde Drexler, in my opinion, and Jerome Kersey has anyone captured the love of the community like Dame has.
He is where he belongs back in Portland. You're right, he's not going to play this year, and he is on the bench. He's not in uniform, but he's on the bench. And a quick example, you know, there was a play at the end of the third quarter the other night against Minnesota where tie game, Scoot's bringing the ball up under 10 seconds to play, and he tried to make a play, but he turned it over, and Minnesota got a run out, you know, layup at the end of the quarter. The first guy to greet him coming off the floor was Damian Lillard, and he put his hand on his shoulder, and he's talking him through it, not in a condescending way, but in a coaching way, and that's what he has done. That's who he's been for this team. And when the Blazers re-signed him, there was a massive pep rally in downtown Portland for a guy who wasn't even going to play this year, and that just shows the love that the Blazers and the city has for him. He means so much to this team and to Portland.
I want to talk, and I won't, about all the talk about selling and moving in the Moda Center, but that's for another day and another conversation because that gets into an area that's not even in your pay grade. So let's just let that one go. I do want to ask about your interim coach in 30 seconds. Is he going to be interim for long?
It's a great question because technically Chauncey Billups is still the head coach until they get the legal things sorted out. So he's not even the interim coach. He's the acting coach.
And acting.
I think there's a lot of legal stuff that goes way over my head, but the job that Thiago Splitter has done managing this team, number one, and coaching this team has been brilliant. And I don't know what the future holds, but I think he has certainly earned a shot to be, when that time comes, to be a long-term NBA head coach.
I really appreciate it. Travis Demers, the voice of the Trailblazers in his seventh season, and also hoping to be one of those announcers doing some playoff games here in another couple of months. Travis, thanks for joining us today on The Sports Ticket.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. Look forward to doing it again.
Okay. With Travis Demers, we thank Travis again, and you're listening to 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Appreciate Mike Gallagher and that fine interview with Blazers broadcaster
Travis Demers. I'm going to butcher his last name.
I can't even say it. That's why I pawned it off to you.
That's right.
Maybe we just need to go to Bowenvine and get a burger.
maybe. Get our brains functioning again.
I don't know. It's been a long week. Anyways, appreciate that. It's always good to hear what's going on up there in Rip City. So they might even make the playoffs.
They might. They're one of those teams, again, back to the March Madness mentality. They got a bit of a hot streak in them, and they can definitely get into those playoffs.
You know, it just seems like every Oregon team's on the bubble.
Well, minus the college ones.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because like we said earlier, the Ducks have got to, really kind of turn it up here for the last three games to get into the Big Ten tournament, but they have to win the Big Ten tournament to play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And do they really want to go to Indianapolis this time of year? Maybe.
At least not in Minnesota. Come on.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so, yeah, Bowenvine Burger Bar right down there. It's a good, always a good day to go down and get a burger, some French fries, and all their favorite sauces that they put on there. It's good stuff.
Well, and you'll be able to sit around and enjoy some spring training baseball. We got plenty of games coming up on the air, and we'll go over that schedule a little later. But those Mariners down in Arizona, and I was reading up on kind of a prospect they have by the name of Colt Emerson, and he's having a relatively effective spring training right now. He's probably their number one prospect, shortstop by trade, but they have this guy named JP Crawford at the major league level that he's not gonna take the spot of, but maybe playing a little bit of third base. But the challenge there is that they just picked up Brandon Donovan who is penciled in to play a lot of third base, so that their second base scenario can be Leo Rivas and Cole Young, you know, another young prospect for the Mariners, Cole Young, getting the majority of the at-bats at second base. So the question really being brought up right now is, if Colt Emerson has a stellar spring training, looks like he's ready to break camp with the team, how do the Mariners handle that scenario? Because the way Major League Baseball, to incentivize getting prospects to the big leagues, if he's on the roster to start the season within the first 2 weeks, okay, the Mariners will get draft compensation later on, as long as he doesn't finish in the top, like, or win the Rookie of the Year, okay? The Mariners will get draft compensation. But if they don't bring him up until May 15th, then they get virtually a seventh year out of the players, because under team control, because he won't get credit for a full season, his first season. Okay.
This is also complicated.
Oh, yeah. Unless he wins the Rookie of the Year. So Pittsburgh did it a couple of years ago where they kept Skeens out. They didn't bring him up until May 15th, right? Because they wanted 6 or 7 years with the guy instead of six. He went on to win Rookie of the Year, so now they didn't get any draft compensation because they waited to bring him up, and he only has, and he got credit for a full year because he won Rookie of the Year.
Unbelievable.
So
there's always a risk, Hunter.
It's always risk reward, and so he's kind of the big bubble spot right now for the Mariners roster on how do you handle him.
You know, I think the biggest question mark is backing up Cal Raleigh at catcher. I mean, Garver, we were talking, you know, at the break that he just got re-signed by the Mariners, and the other catchers haven't been able to do a dang thing.
Well, yeah, the other catchers don't have a whole lot of major league experience. I mean, that's the other part of it. Andrew, on their 40-man roster right now, you have Andrew Knysner, I think. It's K-N-I-Z-N-E-R.
Right.
He's on there, and he's actually been around the big league since 2019. But the most, you know, literally games he's ever played was 97 games back in 2022, and only 33 last year, 35 the year before. So he's had a few cup of teas with at the big league level, where we know Garver is an established big leaguer. I mean, he's got a big league track record. The other catcher on the Mariners 40-man roster is a guy named Johnny Pareda, who he's been in the big since 2024, but the most games he's played in a single season was 20 back in 2024 with the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, and he's had 5 at-bats, and he's got a big fat goose egg, no hits. Mm-hmm. And so, really, Garver isn't a whole lot better. Actually, last year, Garver played way better than the year before, or should I say he hit way better. I mean, he's a solid defensive catcher. There's no doubt about that. The guy knows the game, and he's really, really good as a backup to Cal.
Yep.
But nobody, I mean, when you're, you can't compare anybody to Cal. I mean, you take a serious downgrade when you go to your backup
well,
guy.
Well, it's why the Mariners traded Harry Ford this offseason, because he needs to play every day, and he couldn't with the Mariners because of Cal.
Right.
The other thing I hope to see the Mariners avoid more than they did last year was utilizing the backup catcher as a big-time DH. I like the idea of having a backup catcher who's your backup catcher, getting sporadic at-bats, maybe as DH every once in a while, maybe pinch hitting, you know, being there to back up the catcher, but finding a guy that can really fill that designated hitter role and bring consistent offense day in and day out.
That's the key word right there, Hunter, consistency.
Which we're not seeing a whole lot of. It's the flavor of Major League Baseball right now. I mean, I remember back in the late 80s, 90s when, you know, the Detroit Tigers had a lineup of guys that hit 35 to 45 home runs, but struck out 200 times in the season. And they were kind of the laughingstock of Major League Baseball, where, you know, it's all or nothing. And now that's kind of flipped on its head, where the vast majority of Major League Baseball is okay with a high strikeout number as long as you're hitting home runs.
Well, if you can do that, you know, you got a home run every game and you go 1 for 4.
Well, even,
I think you can deal with that.
Even Cal didn't do that last year. He had a home run in three games.
I think they need to learn how to bunt. They just need to learn how to bunt the guy over.
That's the lost art, the stolen base. They've done a lot of things to bring that back into play. But, you know, and I'll go back. I loved watching Ricky Henderson play. He was one of my favorite guys to watch back in the day.
He did everything right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he hit home runs, he hit base hits, he stole bases, he did the whole thing, and he was a great defender.
Well, and then, you know, more recently, a guy like Ichiro, who just did everything you needed him to do when he needed to do it. And I just go, that's kind of the big lost art in Major League Baseball right now. And the Mariners are such a prime example where, you know, their best hitters have a .263 batting average, but are hitting 40 home runs.
Right. And seriously, that's indicative. Everybody, there's not very many guys that are hitting over .250.
Mm-hmm.
They just aren't on the Mariners squad. So, yeah, I mean, it makes for fun baseball to see everybody hit home runs. But, I mean, if you're not hitting them out, I mean, it's the all or nothing, like you were saying. Yep. So,
all right, we better get out to our last break. You're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This is going to be a quickie. We've been talking too much, Hunter.
That's right. Well, and we want to make sure everybody knows that Auto Team Service Center brings you this this portion of the show.
That's right. I mean, we just got our KYKN van that you drive around town. Just got serviced. They did a phenomenal job, and we found out we needed brakes, and so that's really important.
Brakes and tires.
Brakes and tires.
Man, needed it all.
Yes, we did.
So, getting around town safely. That's KYKN's motto.
And that's Auto Team Service Center.
That's right. All right, real quick, we got a big sports week ahead of us starting tonight, right in a few minutes. We're going to turn over to Charlie for your high school basketball game of the week. Tomorrow we got, of course, the men's basketball team for the Oregon Ducks at Northwestern. 11 o'clock tip off, 10:30 pregame show. Sunday, Mariners baseball at noon, spring training baseball. Tuesday of next week, the men are at Illinois at 5:30 for the pregame show, 6 o'clock tip off. And then Wednesday, Thursday evening, Mariners spring training games. Friday, to be determined on whether we will have high school basketball or not, so check out KYKN.com to find out more information. And, of course, Mariners, Duck basketball, and more Mariners baseball coming up next Sunday. So, Saturday and Sunday.
Well, there you go, Hunter. You pretty much...
I just ran through the whole list. We got so much sports coming up.
You're long-winded.
Well, and of course...
You're out of
sports,
breath.
Sports ticket a week from now. Right.
All right, without me. Okay, Jeff Morgan signing off with Hunter Newton. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you later.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.